Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. I am very excited, and I trust that you all are as well. So I hope that you're tuning in with us tonight, and you will certainly listen to tonight's topic because we've got a very good one for you. We're going to reiterate a little bit about last week's show, but before we do that, we're going to discuss just briefly my website. Go to drjessewalker.com. You can certainly check out my website, all the things that I offer on there, from my hard copy of my book to a soft ebook. You can certainly get that. My coaching services and other services. My office number is also mentioned on there, 954-367-6766. So it's a very good opportunity for you to tune in and get some things at a discounted price. So check it out, and I would be very happy that you did. Last week's show, we talked about the importance of taking care of yourself. That, too, was a very good show. We had a number of people that came on the air, and they gave their views, and I thought that that was very enlightening. So I want to check that out in the archives at drjessewalker.com. Very, very, very important. So go there and check it out, and I think that you'll be very happy that you did. So check that out, and we'll be happy that you did. And, of course, you're always welcome to give me a call and give us a show topic. Give us a show topic. All right, we're going to go ahead and bring in Ms. Blake all the way from Atlanta. Ms. Blake, welcome to the show this evening.
Hello, Dr. Walker. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. I trust you are as well.
Yes, definitely. Ready for another exciting show this evening.
Yes, I was just telling the audience about just doing a reiteration of last week's show, the importance of taking care of yourself. So while you're giving your commercial break on your website, your phone number, contact information, et cetera, then we'll go back and we'll do just a brief reiteration of last week's show.
Certainly. Well, just to be very brief, I am Audrey Blake, also known as Audrey B., your professional life coach. And I am a professionally certified life coach. I help people reach their goals and take their game to the next level, so to speak. In addition to that, I'm the author of a couple of books, specifically two editions of the book Falling in Love with Me. And you can find the book, go to any bookstore and ask for it. If they don't have it, they'll order it. Or you can just go online to Amazon.com or any of the major bookstore, online bookstores, and just look up Falling in Love with Me. There's a heart on the front cover, and my name, of course, Audrey Blake. I'm also available for speaking engagements, workshops, seminars, and to find out more about my services, you can go to our company website, which is www.fosteringleaders.org, or you can call the office. The main line number is 770-866-2162. And that's about it, Dr. Walker.
Well, that's great, Ms. Blake. That is very, very interesting. let me just ask, you know, last week's show we talked about the importance of taking care of yourself. How important is it for people to take care of themselves, in your opinion?
It's extremely important, and it's interesting you ask, because I was just having a conversation with someone here in Atlanta last week, and I told them about the show, and it just goes to show that sometimes people take care of everybody else except themselves, and you have to take care of yourself or you won't be there for anybody else.
I certainly agree. I certainly agree with that. You really have to, and it's very important to take care of yourself. Even when you're getting on the plane or when you're on the plane and the flight attendants come on and they're telling you that before you even put your mask on, I mean the child's mask or somebody else's, you must first make sure that you put yours on first. Now, why do you think that that is so important?
Because they realize that you have to be able to breathe and be alive and be thinking straight and in good health before you can reach out and help anybody else. So I think it's important, as again, that you have to take care of yourself. Even when it comes to relationships, if that means letting somebody go, if that's what it takes to take care of yourself, then it's necessary.
Okay, that becomes vitally important. I agree with you, vitally important. All right, we're going to get to tonight's topic in just a moment. But, Ms. Blake, is there anything that you may have in your mind that you might want to see a show on upcoming? I mean, you can always, you know, you can always do that. But is there anything that, that we need to maybe steer in perhaps another direction to let people know where we're going or something that's on your heart that you want
well,
to present?
I'm always talking about relationships. You know, my book is about relationships and so is yours. And one of the things that came up on the show that I hosted a few weeks ago was the fact that one of our callers mentioned that women sometimes like what we call the bad boys. They don't like the guys who treat them well. And I think it's not unique to women. Sometimes you see that male that goes after that woman that just terribly mistreats him and kind of overlooks the one who's there treating him well. So I think we should do a show on that as to what is it in the psyche that causes someone to gravitate towards someone who is mistreating them.
I think that we should do that. I would love to do that. You know, yeah, we can certainly do that. Do you think that even with that, with you saying that, I think ultimately people end up sort of realizing what they're dealing with and the misfortune of that. And I don't think that those relationships are reality relationships, because the people realize, and that's where they have all of these issues and problems. Unless the self-esteem is affected by some of these people, they will just stay there because they're just looking to be in a relationship, I think. But people who have their self-esteem intact, those are people that are willing to say, well, you know what, this is not the relationship that's best for me. This is not a healthy relationship. So I agree with you.
Right. And sometimes you'd be amazed at the individuals who actually do have it all together. And I'm sure that people from the outside of the relationship looking in is like, well, why is he with her or why is she with him? So sometimes their judgment is a little clouded by other factors that may be entering into things.
Certainly, and you're absolutely right. Okay, let's get ready for tonight's topic. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You can certainly check out the archives at drjessewalker.com or drjessewalkerinc.com. Tonight's storyline is Sheila and Rita, two ladies. And tonight's topic is how changing your thoughts or associations can change your world. How changing your thoughts or associations can change your world. Now, Sheila and Rita, now they're both in their early 20s, with Rita 2 years older, have been friends for nearly 5 years. They met at a mutual friend's party several years ago, hit it off very well. Now, Rita, as we mentioned in the story, happens to be 2 years older than Sheila. Now, prior to meeting Rita, Sheila has always been a very high-spirited, happy-go-lucky type personality. Rita, on the other hand, is definitely a pessimist, one who sees everything half empty. She's extremely negative about everything. She was married for 4 years and divorced and has two small children. Rita has a great deal of influence over Sheila, who is completely the opposite of her. Although Sheila recognizes that Rita is a certain way, she feels this is basically who she is, but feels deep inside Rita is a good person. Now, recently, Sheila started dating a guy who she feels could be potential for marriage. She's never been married before and has no children. Her friend Rita appears to find everything wrong with this guy, and this has now caused a strain on the relationship between Sheila and Rita. Sheila's new friend is trying to open her eyes to see that a friendship with Rita is keeping her back from reaching her goals and dreams in life. It's even affecting their relationship. He is constantly telling her that misery loves company, and that's what it seems that Rita wants for Sheila. Unfortunately, Sheila is so close to the situation that she can't seem to see what he's talking about. However, she's starting to realize that she is not advancing, and her life appears to model that of Rita's, which she is not pleased or happy about. The question is that we start off with tonight. Why is it taking her so long to really see that Rita is not necessarily the best association for her? What do you think, Ms. Blake?
Well, I think she does see it. That's my thought. I mean, I'm sure as I was listening to the story, all of us have had a Rita in our life at some point in time, I'm sure. And you usually know who that negative person is. It's just a matter of, what is the other individual's name?
Sheila and Rita.
Uh-huh. It's just a matter of Sheila making a conscientious choice to either minimize her time around Rita or just let her go altogether.
Wow, but how easy is that? I mean, it's often easier than done. But, I mean, this is someone she's known for now for 5 years, and they've bonded. And now, do you think it has anything to do with the fact that Sheila's found someone that is potential for marriage ultimately?
It may have a little bit to do with that, but coming as a life coach, not really. It's deeper than that. It just sounds like Rita is an unhappy person. So it has more to do with Rita within herself than Sheila's decisions.
Okay. You know, I agree with you. I mean, I'm just thinking there's something that Sheila's boyfriend said, that misery loves company. And we've heard that expression time and time again. And as I listen to that, I would tend to think that, you know what? Rita's already been there. She's been married. She was married for 4 years. Now she has two small children. Sheila, on the other hand, doesn't have any kids, never been married. And now, I mean, Rita's finding everything wrong with this guy. I see it written all over the place that Sheila probably does see it, but she's probably in denial because sometimes people think that they can help the other person just by being there for them. Let's go to the phone lines. We're going to go to 954-226. Who do we have on the air?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Hi, Rose. Thank you for joining us this evening. Rose, what's your take? Rita and Sheila, I mean, you know, what's going on here in your opinion?
Hi, Ms. Blake.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Oh, well, it seemed like I'm not even too sure. Okay, Rita being 2 years older than Sheila might think that she has more experience than Sheila and so therefore wants to give her advice. It could also be that since she's no longer married, she wants to keep her friend single also. You know, I'm not sure. Is she jealous that now Sheila is having a man in her life that's going to take up some of her time, and so she feels like she's going to be losing her friend? it could be so many different factors. It could just be this is just the way Rita is. She's just a negative person. And so she finds fault with everything, you know. But I think Sheila needs to take stock and realize, know what it is that she wants, you know. And it doesn't mean that she has to cut off her friend, but she has to probably put her foot down and put the boundaries there so that Rita knows where not to cross. You know, she can still be friends with her, but she needs to know. Sheila needs to know what it is that she wants. Does she want this guy in her life? You know, then she needs to let Rita know, listen, Rita, this is who I'm with. You know, this is who I'm going to be with. And if you don't like it, then you know, I can't make you. I still want to be friends with you, but it's your choice. I'm going to be with him regardless. You know, and Rita now will have to choose, do I want to share my friend or not? I don't know. It just seems like so many could be going on there.
That's interesting, Rose. You say put her foot down and let her know that this is where she's going to be. And I think that if Rita is a true friend, she would respect that friendship. But now my question to you, Rose, is what happens when, and you mentioned jealousy there, and I tend to agree with you, there's probably some jealousy there. But what happens if Rita, you know, presents a bigger conflict and almost to the point where there's an ultimatum? Well, if you're going to choose this guy, and I'm trying to tell you that he's bad news for you, it's either you're going to listen to me or you're going to go with him, and that's going to dissolve our friendship. What say you, Rose?
Well, hopefully it doesn't come to that because, you know, sometimes friends are hard to come by, especially true friends. Now, if Rita, in my opinion, if Rita is going to say that, then she might not be a true friend, you know. True friends, I don't think true friends do that to you or put you in that kind of situation. Even when they don't like who you're with, you know, they are still your friend, and they might not like the companion that you choose, but because they're your friend, they're going to support you. They let you know how they feel about the person you're with. They let you know if they don't think that that person is right for you. But they're not just going to abandon you because you decide that this is who you want to be with. You know, so if Rita decides to do that to Sheila, then truly I don't see her as a true friend of Sheila. Then I would see her more of being jealous of her and just want to kind of control her somehow or dominate her life. You know,
Go ahead.
Yeah, excellent point. It was hard for me to be quiet because it was just excellent points. And as I said, I'm sure many of us have had a Rita in our lives before. I mean, I personally dealt with, when I heard the story, I'm like, wow, this sounds familiar. And I had to say to the person, you know, it just seems like every time I meet someone nice, you're always very negative. And you just have to tackle it head on. And, you know, I did that, and the individual no longer does that anymore.
Right, and I think that becomes so important. Let's go to the phone lines once again. And, you know, Rose did touch on, I agree with you, she touched on some very important areas. You know, putting your foot down has to take place because, you know, at the end of the day, it's your life. And if Rita wants to be this negative person, then that's her problem. You know, that's her problem. She's already been there. She's got two kids. Sheila has to go on with her life and decide, you know what? You know what? I got to change my association because she's starting to realize that hanging around Rita, you know, the influence is not getting her anywhere. And the new boyfriend is trying to tell her that. Let's go to the phone lines once again. We're going to go to 205-908. Welcome to the show this evening. Who do we have on the air?
This is Jack.
Jack, welcome back, Jack. Thank you for joining us.
It's no problem, no problem. Sounds like you got an interesting topic here tonight, and I just wanted to add to it a little bit.
Yes, we do. Changing your thought and association, how changing your thoughts and associations can change your world.
Okay, all right, yeah. Changing your thoughts and how association can change your world. Well, me personally, I don't let friends or anybody dictate how I live my life. That's number one. The other thing is that a true friend will tell you, you know, how they feel about the person that you selected or whatever's going wrong in your life. I believe that a true friend will say that. But with that said, they're not going to stand in your way if you decide to do that. I mean, I'm your friend regardless of what you do. I just need to give you my take on it. So they would say something to that effect. But if you decide to go with that, then they're going to support you because that's what true friendship is all about. They're the support. Now, I remember, I heard Ms. Blake and what she said, but I remember a guy that was so negative about everything. Everything that came out of his mouth was negative. And he called himself not only my friend, but he called himself friends of the entire board. So I just had to ask him one day, I said, can anything positive ever come out of your mouth? He was offended by that, but I had to tell him. First of all, I had told him before about coming to a meeting and saying certain things, let's make sure we're on one accord. But he kept doing that, so I had to call his hand in a board meeting. So sometimes you have to let a person know that, you know, you're being very, very negative, and I don't care for you that to continue. Now, they continue that, now you have to do what you have to do. That means that you have to move on, you know, and not allow that person to be in your life or whatever. But it sounds like Sheila got it going on now because now she has a man in her life. It sounds like Rita is someone who's very, very negative and someone who's very jealous. I heard Rose mention that earlier, and I agree with that. I believe that she's jealous because she's been there. She's done that, and now she doesn't have a man in her life. But Sheila does, and she's trying to get her act together. So I think that Sheila should continue on. And then if it gets to the point where Rita is constantly being negative towards her, you let her know, and then you, like you all said, give her the gift of goodbye. Give her the gift of goodbye. I mean, because she's constantly being negative to her. Who wants somebody who's constantly negative? I mean, can you find anything positive to say? You got to be able to find something positive to say. Well, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I was wrong when I gave you my assessment of this guy, and I see that you guys are really making it. You guys are really moving on, and you're doing well. But do they come back and say that I'm sorry? I mean, there's so much pride in the world. I mean, people got pride. They don't know how to say I'm sorry. They don't know how to say, well, you know, maybe I was wrong. And I think that's what it's all about, letting people know that, you know, you made a mistake. There's nothing wrong with apologizing.
I certainly agree with that. That's an interesting point. Ms. Blake, did you want to respond to any of that?
Well, I think, again, Jack is right on it, just as well as Rose was. The thing is, Rita has some internal things going on. Sometimes that person's jealous, but sometimes that person is projecting their bitterness onto everybody else.
Okay.
That's an interesting point. We welcome your comments. You can send them to online at drjessewalker.com. We welcome your comments, and we'll start to take those within the next 10 minutes or so. You know, as I think about this here, let me ask this question. Jack, let me begin with you.
Okay.
Why is it so important that if you really want to have a successful relationship or life, that you have to change your thoughts just before you change your associations? Why is that so important, to change your thoughts, the way you think? Like you mentioned about the guy being so negative.
Well, you do have to think, because you go in probably in a relationship, you probably go in blind because you probably, let's say when I first got married, I didn't know what marriage brought to the table, okay? I had my own idea of what marriage should be. I know that I was a very jealous-hearted person in the beginning, and that didn't work because she was letting me know that, I mean, you're going to be jealous like that. That means you don't trust me. So I had to come to grips with myself. I had to come to grips with myself. I said, well, am I wrong? Am I wrong? And then eventually it was revealed to me. I think the Holy Spirit revealed to me that you're wrong. You can't constantly show jealousy. You're just going to have to trust your significant other in order for this relationship to continue on. So I think you do have to change. I think you change as you mature. I think a lot of it has to do with maturity as well. As I got older, I saw there was no need for that, and I just, you know, I didn't continue down that road. I went in another direction and all. So I think
Now, I was talking about my significant other, but in terms of a friend, I take the, whatever they're saying as face value and all, but I see if they're going to be a hindrance from me moving on in my life and all, then I am going to give them the gift of goodbye. And I would do that, and I have done that. I've given them the gift of goodbye. I'm not going to deal with that. I mean, unless you decide to change. And we can sit and we can talk about it, but if I can accept, and I meant to say this earlier, for the most part, people cannot accept constructive criticism. But if you can give it, you should be able to take it as well. So let's sit down and let's talk about it. I'm not always right, and neither are you. We can sit down and we can discuss it.
I like that. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. If you have a comment, you can certainly press 1. We'll entertain that. Rose, let me go to you just for a second. We asked Jack earlier, in case you heard or did not hear, tonight's topic is how changing your thoughts or associations can change your world. Why is it so, let's just, before we get to the association part, we'll ask you the same question we asked Jack. Why is it so important to change your thoughts? And Jack, I thought that was a very interesting point that you mentioned about, you know, early on in life, you being jealous and changing your thoughts. You know, your significant other said that you had to trust them, and you realized that in doing so, it perhaps changed your world. So, Rose, we ask you the same question. Why is it so important that people change their thoughts that can make their world better for them?
I didn't hear everything Jack said, but I agree with the last part of what he said about changing his jealous ways. In order to make the relationship work, and I totally agree with that. When sometimes we try to hold on to our ways and think that what we believe is right, and
mm-hmm.
and then we put our ways onto our spouse, you know, and we think that because we believe this or because we think this is right, that our spouse should also feel the same way, and if our spouse does not, then it becomes a problem because now we cannot accept that, oh my goodness, he or she does not believe the same thing that I believe or act the same way that I act. You know, I think there are times when we hold on to things, but, you know, I truly believe that the Holy Spirit, because we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, and if we do, that the Holy Spirit will reveal to us, you know, when we're wrong. Now,
that's right.
Sometimes we might realize when we're wrong or it's revealed to us, but our pride, you know, keeps us from going to the other person. Okay, you know what? I was wrong. I'm willing to sit back down and talk this through because I was wrong. But sometimes our pride keeps us from doing that. And so we hold on to what we know is already wrong now that we have the revelation about it. And so that creates even a bigger problem. So I think it's very important that when we realize, and, you know, sometimes as we talk things through, we talk ourselves into knowing when we went wrong, you know. It just comes as we continue to discuss it. We realize, oh, you know what, I was wrong there. Now I see the other point, the other way. And I think it's very important, and it's mature of us when we can actually admit that. So, yes, I think it's very important to change our thoughts when we get new revelations.
Okay, very interesting. And now, Ms. Blake, let me ask you. We spoke to Jack and to Rose about the importance of changing their thoughts. Let you and I maybe take an approach, and then maybe we can come back to them on changing the associations for progression in our life. And we'll ask you to take that first one. Changing that association, why is that so important, Ms. Blake?
Well, again, you know, you garbage in, garbage out. And so what
right.
the people that you are around, the people that are in your immediate circle, whether we realize it or not, will often have some degree of influence in your life. So if you find yourself around someone who has a lot of negative vibes, a lot of negative comments, you may want to limit yourself. And what I mean by that is just don't be around them as much. You know, when they call or want to go someplace, you find a reason not to. That tendency to want to change somebody, that's what I call the social work syndrome. And most of us are not social workers. let them go. Minimize your time around them.
And I certainly agree with that. I think that there's a quote that you have, Ms. Blake, and I want to go back to that one. It's like, if their presence something, then their absence. Can you cite that?
Right. It's not my original, but it says if your presence does not add value to my life, then your absence will make no difference.
Okay. That's I try to hold on to that. And that makes, if it doesn't add value, then the absence shouldn't make any difference. And then sometimes, what we end up holding on to is the memory of having been around someone. And it's like, oh, I miss that person. But I think that in one of the books that I've read, I can't remember the author, but it's called An Attachment Hunger. And so we start getting accustomed to that attachment when those attachments are not always necessarily good for us. Jack, what do you think? How can somebody maybe break that attachment, like in the case with Sheila and Rita? I mean, Rita is clearly, I don't see her as being a good friend.
I don't either, mainly because she's so negative. And I think it has a lot to do with pride. I think the fact that she may have realized later on down the line, I'm talking about Rita now, she may have realized that what she thought about this gentleman wasn't necessarily the case. She was probably comparing this gentleman with most men that she's met. But Sheila, she found someone that she could live her life with, and she wanted him. And so now, rather than Rita coming back to her and saying to her that, maybe I made a mistake. And see, like I said, most people, for the most part, they don't want to be told that they're wrong. They don't want to say that I'm sorry. And they don't want to accept constructive criticism, but it's nothing wrong with that. You're not perfect either. None of us are perfect. So what we have to do is take it at face value. If you see someone who's not responding the way that you thought they were, then go to your friend. That's really your friend. Now, I had said earlier that a friend will go to a friend and tell them something. Okay, if this guy, I've seen him, mess around on his, the previous lady that he was with, you would tell him that, or he did something that I know that wasn't right, I need to share this with you and all. So you do share that with them and all. But now, when you find out that you made a mistake or that person has changed, there's nothing wrong and say, well, maybe I made a mistake. This guy has shown nothing but something different and all. So when it gets to that point, now I'm saying this, and I'm not saying it to be funny, but I'm saying if she's constantly doing that and she won't say that I'm sorry and all that, you do have to give her a good gift of goodbye, because she's not worth the value that you all are talking about. I mean, she's just there to be negative in your life, and you don't need that. You don't need people in your life that's constantly saying something negative to you, because we want to accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative, and don't mess with Mr. In-Between. All right, I just wanted to say that.
All right, Jay, we're gonna come back to you in a second, and Rose as well. Let's go to the phone lines again, 305-741. And just before we bring that party in, we're just going to ask, Jack, what about when you have a negative parent a parent who is constantly negative? Does that same thing apply? But let's go to the phone lines on this issue first, and then we'll come back. 305-741.
Oh, you want me to say something to that effect? Right now?
Yeah, I want you to think about it, and then after we entertain this caller, then we'll come back to you.
Okay, sure. Okay, sure.
305-741, who do we have on the air, and welcome.
Hello, this is Shanithia.
Shanithia, thank you for joining us, Shanithia. It's a pleasure to have you once again. Tonight we're talking about how changing your thoughts and your associations can change your world. Do you believe in any of that, Shanithia?
Definitely. The reason why I do believe in that is because if a couple wants to be each other's soulmates and want to be together.
We're getting an echo with you, but go ahead. We want to hear what you have to say, Shanithi.
Sorry, do you still hear echo now?
Oh, this is much better.
Okay. All right. I was saying that I definitely do agree with that. Reason being is because if two people want to be a strong couple and each other's soulmates, no one is perfect. No one is perfect, and everyone is raised different ways. So if I feel one way and he feels another way, it can't always be my way. Do you understand? So sometimes he may feel a certain way, and even if I may not agree with it, you know, I will have to put my guard down and do say sorry sometimes, you know. And with the association that you guys were talking about earlier, definitely. Sometimes it isn't good to keep everyone in your company because everyone doesn't want the best for you. Sometimes they want what you have, and because they can't have what you have, they're going to hate, they're going to give you negative response on everything and just not be happy for you. And sometimes we go to the wrong people for advice or the wrong people for, you know, leading when they're going through worse things, you know. So you have to be very careful with who you keep in your circle, who you talk to about your personal business. You have to be very careful with that. And as an adult, you will learn that as growing up.
Shanitia, let me tell you something. I don't know your age group, but let me tell you something. You sound like a woman of extraordinary wisdom. I mean, because, you know, when you start out telling us that, you know, you realize that no one is perfect, and Jack has been saying that over the years as well, and then you realize that sometimes you may not agree, and then you can go in and you can say, I'm sorry. I mean, that is just awesome. Ms. Blake, what do you think about Shanitia's comments?
I think excellent comments. You know, I know, Shanitia, you called into the show before, I believe, and you always have very great insight into the storyline.
Okay. All right. Jack, let's go to you, Shanitia. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to go to Jack right now and ask him. We talked about negativity, and we're talking about tonight's topic, how changing your thoughts or associations can change your world. What about if you have a parent that's constantly negative? And even Shanitia was even alluding to the fact that sometimes, you know, you're having these people who you're getting the wrong advice from. What about if it's a parent, Jack? What do you think about that? And then, Rose, we're going to pose the same question to you.
Well, I think that, you know, you've always got to give respect to the parent, because I don't care how old we get, that's still our parent. Okay, but now, but parents can be wrong as well, and they're not to provoke their children. All right, so if a parent is constantly being negative, then there's nothing wrong with a child going to that parent and letting them know that, Mom, Dad, you're being very negative. Okay, you're coming across very, very negatively, very, very negative to me. Okay, and then the parent, a parent to me would say, tell me what you mean, give me a case in point. Okay, so you share that with them. Now, if they listen, then you've gained, then you've won that parent. Now, if they don't listen and they come back continuously, do the same thing. When that parent is being negative to you, you don't disrespect them now, but what you do, you change the subject. And then you can say to them, if it's on the phone, then, Mom, Dad, I got to go. I got another phone call or something else is happening in my life. Because they're going to constantly do that, and then after you've told them, and then all you can do now is change the subject and move on. But you never be disrespectful to your parent, because that's not what we're supposed to do. So that's how I feel. Parents can be negative, and we don't know everything, okay? But I welcome, you know, my children talking to me. I'd welcome it. I mean, let me know. I mean, if I said something, my daughter said to me before she went to college, she said, while she was in college, okay, and I was talking to her about something on the phone, and she said to me, she said, don't ever stop giving advice, even though if it seems like I don't want to listen. I thought that was commendable. Don't ever stop giving advice, even if it sounds like I don't want to listen. So parents sometimes can be negative, but I think it's the responsibility of the child to let them know, and then a real parent is going to say, well, give me a case in point. Don't sit back and talk about it to the siblings or talk about it to somebody else. You go to their parent, okay, and you let them know exactly how you feel. That's my take.
Okay, Rose, let me just pose the same question to you. You know, Jack is saying never be disrespectful to the parent, and, you know, you might just change the subject on them or tell them you got another phone call. But can a leopard change its skin? If a parent is listening, you might be able to reach them, Jack said. But can a parent change their skin? Can a leopard change its skin overnight like that?
I totally agree with Jack on this. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the earth. It also says, parents, not to provoke your child, you know?
That's right.
So, I totally agree with what Jack said. I like the strategy of letting your parent know, because you have to, of course, keep respect. It doesn't matter your age. You have to respect your parents. That's my take on it. But I agree, you know, bring it to your parents' attention. Sometimes maybe the parent is not even aware that
that's
he or
right.
she is
that's
being
right.
bullied, you know. And so bringing it in a respectful way, letting the parent know that this is how you feel, you know, and this is what you're hearing from them, and you really wish that they wouldn't do this. You know,
that's right.
So I think that's the best approach, as Jack said. However, you know, if the parent, of course, is not listening or just don't want to be corrected there, I totally agree also change the subject when that particular thing comes up.
Absolutely.
Or avoid that, because now you already know that the parent is not willing to change his or her ways. This is how he or she is. They're setting their ways, and no matter what you say respectfully about the situation, they're not going to change. There's some parents who say, listen, it's my way or no way, and they don't care what the child have to say. They're not going to listen. That's so I agree with Jeff. Now, I do think you have, it also depends on the age group of the child, because in teaching, you know, and you have, I have middle school students, and, you know, some parents are totally negative and say horrible things to the kids. And you know, they'll tell the kids you're going to amount to nothing. You're going to be this. You're going to be that. And it's all negative. Now, my heart goes out to children like that. And a lot of times these parents are just not willing to listen to a child because they think that a child cannot tell them anything. To those kids, I would say they probably need to build a really strong self-esteem, you know, and determination, and not believing in the negative things that the parents are telling them. They would have to be very strong, though, you know, knowing and now turn that negative energy into something positive to kind of drive them to do the opposite of what the parents is saying to them. If they tell you, you'll never be anything, turn that into a positive energy where you focus with your lesson and you try your very best to do what your parents think you can't do to amount to something that no one believed in or your parents didn't believe in you with, you know, and show them that way that, listen, mom or dad, you know, I was able to do this. Let them see that although they thought you would be a whatever, you held your head up and you accomplished what they always tell you you could never accomplish. I think that's the best way to show them.
Very interesting point, Ms. Blake. Did you want to come in? Then we're going to go to Shanithia with one of our comments that have come in for tonight's topic.
Well, let's go to our comments, Dr. Walker. I think everything being said is just excellent and right on point this evening.
All right, then let's start taking some of the comments that have come in. Shanithia, are you still with us? We're going to give you our first comment for the evening. Okay, very good. This female writes in. She says, how changing your thoughts and associations can change your world. She says, I'm a very strong believer in this, that if or when you change your thoughts or associations, you're likely to change your world for the better, especially if there is negativity around you. Shanita, is she on point?
She definitely is. She definitely is, because like I said earlier, you can't only think your way and your way only. You have to be open-minded. You have to care about others' feelings, you know. So even you have to put your pride aside, and you have to shun all the negative people out of your life, because if you keep the negative people in your life, you will continually have problems in your life, your relationships, your everything.
All right, but let me ask you this, Shanita. I mean, you have a girlfriend that you're very close to. I mean, you really love her like a sister, and you realize that she's very negative, and you figure you can help her. Are you really helping her by just accepting the way that she is, or would you maybe not enable her by telling her, you know, like Rose said on the air earlier, sometimes you got to put your foot down. What do you do?
Well, if it's a very, very close friend, then definitely I'll go ahead and try to talk to them, tell them how I feel, you know, and let them know how I feel. And if they continue to do it, then yes, slowly but surely I will either stop talking to you or I will stop talking to you about whatever area that they seem insecure about, why they keep, you know, being negative to me. So if it's about whatever the topic is, if it's about relationships, for example, if I feel like she keeps being negative about that, then I'll change the topic, talk about everything except for that with her because I know how she is.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes absolute sense. Ms. Blake, we'll give you the next one that's come in. This writer right here, she's sending in a rather long one. She says, it took me a very long time to realize the importance of changing my thoughts and especially my associations. For more than 12 years, I kept gravitating to the wrong types of men in my life. After the last abusive relationship that lasted for 4 years, I decided to give myself a one-year break before getting involved with anyone else. I took the time to evaluate my life, and after that, 1 year decided to go another 6 months. Several guys came after me, but I chose to not even date. In all, it took me 2 years, and now I'm remarried to a wonderful and completely different man because I decided to change my thoughts and my association. She says it works. Now, that importance of reevaluating her life and taking time out, why is that so important, Ms. Blake?
That's critical. I actually talk about that in my book, Falling in Love with Me, where you really have to take an internal look. I call it kind of sliding under the microscope and looking in the mirror. So you really have to get to know who you are and really get to the bottom of this, of why you're making unhealthy choices. So, again, it's a mindset. You've got to change how you feel about yourself, your worth, and your mindset.
Okay. Well, I want to pose a question to Rose and throw it out there. And, Ms. Blake, you can comment on this afterwards as well. Then, Rose, I mean, here it is, this lady writes in this comment. She says several guys came after her. What if one of those guys might have been Mr. Right for her before the now Mr. Right came along?
Obviously, there weren't. But the fact that she had to heal herself, you know, it doesn't matter to her that one of those guys might have been Mr. Right. If they were, then she would have ended up with them when she was fully healed. Because if she's sick, then she's just going to bring that sickness to the relationship, and then it just wouldn't work out. So I think she did the right thing in taking care of herself, going through what she needed to go through to kind of purge her system, you know, because obviously she probably was dealing with the wrong or being attracted to the wrong guys, you know, abusive, guys that are abusive. So she had to kind of purge herself. So I totally agree with what she did. I know she's happy with someone who she feels is a wonderful person.
But what if they were, one of those guys may have been drop dead gorgeous, Rose? Does it matter?
What was that?
No, it doesn't matter. It just does not matter because she knew what was she valued herself enough to get the help that she thinks she needed to get her to become a whole person.
Can I come in on that?
And actually give more to her relationship when she, you know, finally get in one.
Jack, do you agree with that, with what Rose is saying? I mean,
it could have been what Rose is saying. I agree with what Rose is saying wholeheartedly. I think that was very wise. Before she goes into the relationship, she needs to get herself together, and she did that. She wanted to make sure. Now, we haven't talked about this, but we don't know that lady could have she believed in the power of prayer. So even though, you know, she waited and she had other people come along and she said, no, I don't want to go there yet because I'm not ready for it, she could have prayed about it. So whoever the Lord brought to her at the very end, then that's the person that it was supposed to be, because you heard what she said. She said now she has a good person in her life and they seem to be doing very well together. So the power of prayer, I mean, prayer changes things. So
I believe that as a result of her prayer, the Lord heard her prayer and he delivered to her what she needed.
All right, well, I think that that's excellent. Let's go to and take another comment that's come into the studio. And Jack, we'll give you this one. This male writes in, he says, how changing your thoughts and associations can change your world. Yes, it does work. When you change your thoughts and your associations, I was hanging around with the wrong type of friends for years and getting nowhere in my life. In spite of my mother telling me this, at age 23, I wanted to see life for myself. But now I'm 27. I'm truly sorry that I didn't listen to my mother because learning the hard way for me was not the best way. And my final analysis, I don't think experience always has to be the best teacher. Jack, does it? I mean, we've heard it growing up, I'm sure, that experience is the best teacher. But he's saying he doesn't think it always has to be. He wish he had listened to his mother.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, that as we get older, the more mature we get. I mean, I used to think that as well, that experience was the best teacher. But I come to find out now, experience is not the best teacher. It's what you learn from those experiences. That's what the best teacher is, not the experience. Because you can see that experience, but you can just disregard it altogether. But what you learn from those experiences is what the best teacher. Now, as far as this guy, I remember my mom saying something to that effect, too. You know, that you make sure you choose your friends wisely. And I tend to gravitate to people similar to myself. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't just select anybody. I'm not saying that I'm better because I'm not. But I'm always rooting basically for the underdog. That's how I was raised, basically. But I gravitate to people similar to, you know, how I am as a person at all. I don't want to be around someone who's high polluted or think they're better because they have a degree or because they have money or because they have a fine home and things of that nature. I gravitate to people that are a low esteem. You know, they don't lift themselves up high and pompous and pious and all of that. You know, they're Christians and all of that, and they think that they're better than anybody else. No, the Bible says, let other men, you know, praise you. So I try to keep it simple. I'm a simple person, and I try to deal with people that are simple because, to be honest with you, we all are level at the cross. So there's no big I's and little U's. I mean, I tell my teachers all the time, and there's no I in team. We're all in this together, and I know I mentioned that before. So I just believe in that. I believe that you choose your friends wisely, and I tend to gravitate to people that like myself. So I definitely agree with this young man on what he said. Yeah.
All right. Rose, we're going to give you the next one. It comes in. This male writes in. He says, I'm not clear on what it means to change your thoughts or associations. Can you explain that more in detail so I can make sure I learn the lesson? I'm only 21 years old. So he wants to make sure he learns the lesson of changing your thoughts and your associations. And maybe we'll go to Shanithia, to see what her take on it is also.
I think this is a good one for Jack. What it means to, I think I will go with the association one. To me, when it says change your association, if there are negative people in your life, if there are people in that you're associating with that brings you down, pulls you down,
absolutely,
instead of lifting you up, then maybe you need to take a second look at those people. If you're hanging out with people who just brings you down, get you in trouble, then take a second look at that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Know who you are. And
that's
at
right.
21, you know right from wrong, so you know what you should be doing, you know, hanging
mm-hmm.
with the right people, people who want to go somewhere with their life, not people who just want to hang out just only to have fun, but they're not inclined to climb the ladder, to go to the next level. If you
absolutely.
Want to make something of your life, then you need to kind of be in association with those people who are going someplace.
Mm-hmm.
That's my take on that. Jack, you wanna go with the
I agree with you hit the nail on the head because absolutely at 21 years of age I'm only gonna hang around people that are trying to go somewhere in life. I'm not gonna hang around someone who doesn't want to do anything with their life. They don't want to get in school. They don't want to do anything. They just want to hang out. No, I don't want to just hang out. Let's get in school so we can better ourselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, we grew up poor. So now, am I going to stay in that condition at all? No, I don't want to stay in that condition at all. I want to do something. And I'm not going to blame anybody. I'm not going to blame my parents. I'm not going to blame, you know, the white man or whoever. I'm going to do what I need to do in order to move on in my life.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Shanita, let's go to you. Do you think Rose and Jack are on point or there's anything else that can be added to that? All right, maybe Shanita has left us for the evening. I think that they're quite on point. They're both on point, and I think that that makes absolute sense. And it was nice of this young man to send in at age 21 for clarity, and I think that that's always a good thing when you can try to get clarity. Ms. Blake, we're coming up on the last few minutes, and we're going to give you the last comment, and then I want to go and ask each person just briefly to give me their thought on how changing their world and their associations, you know, could be affected by changing their thoughts and their world. All right, this, in a nutshell, she says, this lady writes in, if you want to be successful in your relationship and your life, you best learn immediately how to change your thoughts and your associations. The sooner you break away from the things or people who do not enhance your life, the better life will always be for you. Ms. Blake, what do you say?
Yes, that's an excellent comment. This is someone also who apparently has experienced life and has a lot to offer along those lines. And she brings out the point that there are two things you have to do. One, change your mindset. That has to be internal. And then the second one is your association, those people who you allow to be in your closest circle, because those people will either make or break you in the end. And so it's very important, and to that young man that wrote in, the 21-year-old, I believe, that's going to be key in your future, is the people that you surround yourself with and the way you think about yourself. Never let anybody make you feel inferior, but always believe in your dreams and don't let anybody kill your dreams. And those people who are negative, then you need to minimize your time or they really are not your friends.
I agree with that and couldn't agree with it anymore. Just quickly, 10 seconds or less, because we're clearly running out of time. Rose, we'll start with you. Change your thoughts. Change your associations. Just, you know, how would you tell someone like Sheila? Let's begin with Sheila. How would you tell her, Sheila, change your thoughts on how you feel about this girl, Rita, and then you begin to change your world. That's your association.
I would tell Sheila to just know what she wants. Make sure she know what's best for her. This way, when she hears the negative thing, she'll know what not to listen. So know what's best for her.
Okay, I agree with that. I'll give my take on it. Then we'll go to Jack and Ms. Blake. We'll give you the last word. I would say to Sheila, open your eyes. It might not be all bad what your boyfriend is trying to tell you about this girl. Take a look at her life. And it already appears that your life is trying to model hers. Watch the influence in your life. Jack, let's go to you. You know, what would you tell Sheila, you know, changing her thoughts and association?
I would tell her that be careful who you choose as your friends. Make sure you know that Rita is definitely your friend. I would go to her and share with her exactly what she said to me, and this guy is nothing like that at all. As far as changing your association, make sure that if you have a friend, make sure that friend is a true friend. Otherwise, give them the gift of goodbye. That's what I would say to her.
Amen. Ms. Blake, we give you the final word on that. Tell them, Sheila.
Well, your perception is your reality, so it's very important that you choose wisely who you allow in your circle and how you feel about yourself.
All right. On that note, we are clearly out of time. Thank you all for joining us on live on the Dr. Jessica. So join us this Friday for your Half Hour Inspiration program. Of course, if you choose to bypass this Friday, join us again next Tuesday. for another episode of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Until Friday or until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.